What's going on, everybody? This is the Passive Wealth Strategy Show, the show that will teach you how to build wealth with real estate without buying yourself another job. As always, I am your host, Taylor Lote. I'm a real estate investor. I focus on multifamily and self-storage investing. Today, I'm very excited to be speaking with Zachary Jensen. Today, we're going to dig into the IRA, the individual retirement account, and we're going to get into the Roth IRA and the backdoor Roth IRA. So much knowledge here on tax-advantaged accounts. A little bit about Zachary. He is an ex-tech professional who previously worked as a lead engineer at a Fortune 100 company. He left his tech job to acquire an accounting firm, and now he is a tax expert. And that's what we're going to be digging into today. He is also a real estate investor, a small business owner, of course, and has invested in several real estate syndications. I'm excited to talk about these tax advantage accounts that I use and a lot of you out there are using, but maybe don't know everything about. So much knowledge here today. Zachary, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us a bit about where you're calling from and tell us about your business and why you bought it?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me on, Taylor. Big fan of the show here. Calling in from sunny San Diego, California. I know it's snowing cats and dogs out where you're at right now. So, you're going to be a little jealous of me here. But yeah, so I'm an ex-tech professional, as you said. Coming from California, tech professional, in the tax world, that's a recipe for disaster, right? You're paying close to 50% tax if you're filing, you know, single here. And making a bit of money, I was very fortunate until I started seeing where my kind of tax dollars were going. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm losing so much money in taxes on my paycheck. I better figure out ways to save money on taxes. So reached out to different accountants, tried to learn different strategies, and was surprised that a lot of accountants didn't really know a lot of ways to reduce your AGI, right? Your adjusted gross income. They were very reactive in the sense that they ask you, oh, well, did you contribute to your 401k? Did you do your IRA? And kind of didn't really go deeper than that. So ended up linking up with a CPA who was very expensive and I learned a lot from. And kind of as my tech career climaxed here, I wanted to get more involved in taxes because I loved it so much, just helping myself and other friends at kind of these bigger tech companies. And that's when I decided to make the jump and become an entrepreneur and buy a business. So we've been around since 2006. I acquired the business last year, but we serve thousands of clients all over the United States called TaxWise Financial Services. That's TaxWiseCorp.com. Little plug there. But yeah, we've got a lot of ways to reduce people's taxes and strategies that I utilize myself. You mentioned the real estate syndications. There's stuff you can do around there, but that's not today's topic, Taylor. We're talking about the mega backdoor Roth IRA, the Roth IRA, and the IRA, starting from the bottom.
Absolutely. And before we dig into it, I'm sure this is something that you'll agree with, but we're speaking in generalities. This is going to be an educational show and not specific information for anyone out there listening. So if you need tax advice and guidance, go consult with a CPA. We're going to lay that out there before we get into all of this knowledge that you're going to share with us. So let's get started and talk about the IRA. We're going to start with the basics here, and then we're going to build on that foundation and get into things like you mentioned, the mega backdoor Roth IRA and things that higher income earners use in the IRA space. But let's start with the basics of the IRA. So take it away.
Sure. So I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with this, right? This is a very common thing, but we're just going to start from the beginning. That way we keep everyone to the very end here where we start talking about the spicy stuff. So as you know, IRA, it's a tax-advantaged account if you're earning under $77,000 or less, right? So you can take a deduction for your contribution here in the IRA. And for tax year 2024, that's going to be $7,000 if you are single. And if you are married filing jointly, you can do this double, right? So you can have both your wife and you take the deduction. And if you're over the age of 50, it's going to be an $8,000 deduction. Now, that's just to deduct, right? A very common misconception that a lot of CPAs will tell their clients is don't contribute to the IRA. It doesn't benefit you, right? Because sometimes, well, most of the time, they're telling someone who is earning above that $77,000 or less, right? And they're not going to get a deduction. why would they put their money there? We're going to get into that in a minute on why they would. But there is a small caveat with the IRA, right? So between $77,000 and $87,000, you can actually contribute and get some tax deduction, but it's a partial deduction. And as your income increases, you get less of the deduction. We tell our clients if you make over that $77,000, not to even bother and do the backdoor Roth IRA.
Roth versus traditional, let's lay that out. Again, probably our listeners are familiar with the difference between the two, but let's make sure we're all on the same footing and lay out Roth versus traditional.
Sure. So IRAs allow for pre-tax dollars, given those stipulations we just mentioned, to be pre-tax money, right? So you can go and take a deduction on your tax return. The provider of the IRA doesn't actually know if you're going to take the tax deduction or not. That's a totally separate thing. So this is the same account, right? It's supposed to be for pre-tax dollars. And after age 59 and a half, when you go to take it out, you're going to pay capital gains tax, right? So no tax going in, tax going out. Roth, on the other hand, Roth IRAs are tax going in, no tax going out. So this is very powerful, because it allows your dollars to grow tax-free. You can sell things and rebuy them and have those things grow tax-free. And you can give to your heirs a completely tax-free account on your death. So it's a very, very, very powerful account. Peter Thiel, a famous venture capitalist who was an early investor in Facebook, actually bought Facebook shares in his Roth IRA. And coming in the next few years, he's going to make a cool, you know, $5 billion or whatever it is in his Roth IRA, completely tax-free. So I know that's an extreme example, but it just shows and highlights the power of the Roth IRA and how mere mortals like us can use it. Peter Thiel, obviously, extreme example. But
yeah, that's a particularly interesting example. There was some kind of hullabaloo out there in the media, and so I saw some politicians upset about that and yes, how well he performed. But hey, those are the rules. And if he played by the rules, it is what it is. He won. He played the game right. But anyway, so those income limitations really keep a lot of people from using the Roth IRA kind of as it's set up, or at least as, you know, my understanding there, a lot of folks are prohibited or limited from their ability to contribute to the Roth IRA because they make too much money. So tell us a bit about that for the folks who earn too much money to directly use a Roth IRA.
Sure. So you probably just heard the Roth IRA magic and you're like, Zach, I want to go and set up a Roth IRA. Well, you got to hold on a second because you might make too much money. The good news is if you're under that $153,000 limit for tax year 2023 and under the tax year 2024, $161,000 limit, you can just go ahead and contribute right to the Roth IRA, right? No games need to be played. You don't need to do the backdoor strategy here. You can simply just contribute right to it and take advantage of the benefits we just discussed. Now, if you're over that limit I just mentioned, the $161,000 for tax year 2024, you're going to need to do something called the backdoor Roth IRA. Now, the backdoor Roth IRA isn't some, you know, sleazy behind the bar backdoor, you know, it's not some shady thing. Not only is this allowed, but the IRS actually explicitly mentions that it's allowed, and it's a very common strategy. So you're not going to get some sort of audit or anything like this if you're doing this properly. You know, it's not going to affect you in any negative way. This is a very common strategy. Many folks utilize this. Going back to 2010, there was a limit on how much folks could contribute to IRAs in general, right? And I think that was about $100,000 back then. They since got rid of that post 2010. So now anyone, you know, you could be making $1 million a year and contribute to an IRA. You're just not going to take the deduction we just mentioned. Now IRAs can be converted into Roth IRAs, and it's just a three simple steps, right? Number one, we open an IRA. Number two, well, and put money in it. Number two, we convert it to Roth. And number three, we put it inside the Roth IRA account. So it's a very simple 1-2-3 process. The act of doing this is very simple, but you can get yourself into trouble here if your other accounts have money, which we can get into in a minute. But that's essentially the essence of, hey, if you make more than this $161,000 for the tax year 2024, you can still contribute to a Roth IRA. You just got to go in the back door.
Okay. So there's always caveats. And like you said, you can get yourself into trouble. Now, I have some Roth IRA accounts. I have traditional IRA accounts, and I've done some Roth conversion over the years. It's been a little while since I did it, but my memory serves, there are tax implications to doing that conversion from a traditional IRA over to a Roth IRA. Now, is that still the case here? And how can folks kind of think about that tax implication?
Yeah, so this is where it gets complicated. There's two things that folks need to think about. Number one, if you have any other types of IRA accounts like simple IRAs or traditional IRAs, and you go to convert a new IRA account to the Roth IRA, there are tax implications because of something called the pro rata rule. Now, the best way to explain the pro rata rule is to think of it as a cup of coffee, and you pour in some creamer into the cup of coffee and you mix it together. When you take a sip of that coffee, you're taking a sip of the creamer. Now, in my analogy here, the coffee is dollars that are pre-tax, right? So you've already, have not paid taxes on this. You directly put it into your IRA. And the creamer here is the dollars that are post-tax, right? So you've already paid taxes on them and you've mixed it together. When you go to convert any dollar amount to a Roth IRA, the IRS looks at it as that cup of coffee. So they look at you and say, hey, you can't just convert your post-tax dollars and not your pre-tax dollars here. We're going to prorate it. So a percentage of your tax dollars and your not tax dollars are taken into account when you make that conversion. So it's a bit complicated. I like to just think of the coffee, but that's essentially how the pro rata rule works. Now, there are ways around it, as with everything in the tax world, or almost everything, right? And the general idea here is we want to have all of our IRA accounts have a basis of zero, so no dollars in them. And the way we do that is by moving things over into our 401k. So prior to doing the Roth backdoor strategy, we really need to make sure that all of our IRA accounts have no money in them, they're zeroed out, and we've moved all of those assets to our 401k. And there are tax implications there, but usually it's a good idea to still go that route.
So, pretty complicated process, and making it clear, at least to me, that if I were to go through this process myself, I desperately need a CPA to walk me through this, because there's quite a bit to it. So the backdoor Roth, I think we've covered that. And then there's the mega backdoor Roth. What's the difference? What's so mega about it?
All right. So this is where it gets exciting, right? So you might be thinking, Zach, I'm making good money. I'm thankful, that I've got this great job, but I've got big financial aspirations. And this $7,000 a year, or $88,000 if I'm over 50, just isn't going to cut it for me, man. I want to get more contributions into my Roth IRA. Well, here comes the mega backdoor Roth IRA. And this allows you to get up to $69,000 into a Roth IRA. Now, how do we do that? Well, going back to what we were talking about earlier, when we were zeroing out our IRAs, in your example, Taylor, you have some IRAs, we'd move that over to your 401k provider. We would then have you put in your $7,000 into a brand new IRA. We would then convert that into the Roth IRA. And then we would do a conversion from your 401k dollars into your Roth IRA. Now, why would we do that? Well, there are two specific things we need to keep in mind when doing this, if it's even possible for you. Your 401k provider needs to allow for after-tax contributions, right? So a lot of people think, going on a little tangent here, that 401ks, they limit you up to the amount you're taking out of your W-2. So you might say, Zach, I'm maxing out my 401k. Well, legally, you may not be, because you are actually allowed to put in after-tax contributions to your 401k up to that $69,000. And this is another caveat, your employer match needs to be under that as well. So a simple formula would be your pre-tax contributions plus your employer match plus your after-tax contributions. All of that needs to be under your $69,000. A lot of people make the mistake and get excited and try to contribute as much as they can, and then their employers don't match them because they don't need to. They can't, right? There's the bucket's full, right? So going back to the after-tax contributions of the 401k, those we would want to put into the Roth IRA via something called in-service distributions or in-service conversions, which some 401k plans do allow for. So not all of them, but you need to make sure that if you're going to go for this mega backdoor Roth IRA strategy, your 401k provider provides those two things. Reiterating, one, you need to be able to contribute after tax contributions, and two, you need to be able to have the in-service distributions or in-service conversions.
Okay. So in that context, a lot of folks who are real estate investors, myself included, have solo 401ks for real estate investing businesses, and conversation about whether your 401k provider allows that, whether your plan allows for that. But is this kind of strategy generally viable with solo 401ks in particular?
Yeah, I mean, 401k providers all kind of offer a certain characterization of investment class, right? You can have different assets, and then there are different terms of the 401k plan. So if your solo 401k plan offers this, you can do this.
Whenever somebody mentions something like a distribution out of a retirement account, like a 401k, before you reach the age for distributions, there's the conversation about penalties, right? Because the government wants you to put that money in there and leave it in there until you reach the age to withdraw. And if you don't, then there are penalties involved. And I know this because I've looked into this personally about maybe pulling some money out and decided not to do it. But still, when doing this mega backdoor Roth IRA conversion, and you're mentioning in-service distributions, if you can do so, is there like a penalty for that in-service distribution to do the conversion?
Yeah. So since you're contributing after tax dollars, the taxation event has already occurred. So there's not going to be a penalty for converting these. These are actually it's kind of confusing. It's called in-service distributions or in-service contributions, but it's actually a conversion. So the way it's looked at is via conversion. And the way conversions are penalized is, as you know, you have a 10% penalty on top of the taxes if you take the money out early before that 59.5 in the Roth IRA. But that doesn't count for something called the five-year rule. So things that are converted, right? So let's say that's after-tax amount when you convert it to your Roth IRA. Conversions, you're allowed to take out without penalty after 5 years. So if I put in, let's say, $10,000 of after-tax money, and then I did this conversion, that $10,000 I can take out with no penalty after 5 years. Just the gains on top of it, any sort of appreciation in asset value, would have that penalty associated with it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So these conversations, generally, when I see people asking about backdoor Roth IRAs or the mega backdoor Roth IRA, it seems to be mostly on forums like the Fat Fire forum on Facebook, which is a group of significantly, you know, high income earners who want to have a pretty substantial retirement income. Is a great group, but it tends to be folks that fall into the, you know, kind of accredited investor space, if you will, who are making maybe $300,000 to $500,000 a year plus in the much higher income range. Does that reflect your experience? Are you seeing mostly higher income people talking about this and looking at this particular strategy, or are there folks that are in that kind of 150 to 200 range that are looking at it as well?
Yeah. So at TaxWise, we primarily work with real estate investors and small business owners. So our income numbers are skewed a little higher, around that 250 plus. So I'm a bit biased when I say this. So yes, they are looking at this. That being said, practically, if you're within that 150 to 250 range, maybe you got some 401k, you got some IRA. The best, most practical way to take advantage of this, I would say, is, you know, if you're married, that's great. You know, have you and your wife do this, right? You and your wife can do this strategy individually. So even if you're, you know, married, filing jointly. So take advantage of it like that. If you can, contribute the max and then roll it over every year. And if you do that for 40 years, you'll have, you know, an 8% return, like, I think like a little over $2 million tax-free. So that's kind of a practical way of approaching this. We always talk and kind of get in the weeds and get confusing. But at the end of the day, I feel like listeners in kind of this area are just trying to get some real practical knowledge around this. And I would say that's the most practical thing, is just make sure you don't have any of these exclusions with your, you know, your current IRAs, zero those out, and then just do a Roth IRA every year, and you know, you'll be fine.
Well, complex process. Again, if I were to look at doing this for myself, I would desperately need a CPA or my CPA to weigh in on my strategy and give me some guidance with it. And I certainly believe that listeners, if they're considering this, should always speak with a tax professional before making any major tax moves. And, you know, I'm glad we got to cover this today. Been very curious about backdoor IRAs and the mega backdoor conversion. Right now, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. Tracking your rental property business no longer needs to be a hassle. Stessa, a new financial technology company, helps real estate investors just like you take their real estate rental portfolio to the next level by automating the financials of their rental property portfolio. You can get started with just $20 a month to take your rental business to the next level by tracking your properties, automatically collecting rent, tracking your expenses, and so much more. Using technology can take so much of the hassle out of owning a rental property portfolio. So check out Stessa today by using our link in the description, and you can get started for free or upgrade to their pro package for just $20 a month. This type of software can save you a ton of time. Go check out Stessa today by using our link in the show notes. Now back to the show. First one, number one, what is your number one book recommendation?
So my number one book recommendation, it changes depending on kind of what areas I'm reading. But right now I'm reading this book called Small Giants, which I really, really like. I really recommend. And it's about how companies feel like they need to grow and grow and grow and grow. But it's examples of folks that chose not to grow and chose to stay small and in their communities and ended up running great businesses, having great financial outcomes for themselves and their employees. And it's just a good reminder, just, you know, get off the hamster wheel when you know you've won the game. And, you know, enjoy the fruits.
I appreciate that. Question number two, who or what inspires you?
Yeah, this might be cliche, but it's got to be my wife, man. I mean, we've known each other since, you know, I was really young, you know, 15 years old, and we've been together for, you know, coming up on a decade here. So really, really, really inspires me to just do the best I can every day and provide for our family. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're here for. That's why we're listening to all these financial podcast, because we want to get the tools to be able to provide for our families and give those folks a better future.
100%. Speaking of the future, question number three, think about 80-year-old Zach. If you could sit down, have a conversation or maybe a phone call with him, what advice or feedback do you think 80-year-old Zach would give to Zach of today?
I think he would tell me to play long-term games with long-term people and play them a little at a time. Right. I feel like a lot of people are looking for shortcuts, or they're in high earning industries that cap out quickly and get burnt out and they don't enjoy what they do. And I feel like he would tell me to worry more about compounding in my career and my investing, and to focus on playing that game with long term people that also share that mindset, and just do it a little day at the time. You know, back in my engineering days when I was really trying to earn a lot of money, I was working 70, 80, 90 hour weeks and not really getting a lot of fulfillment out of it. So in the short, it would be to play the long game.
I appreciate that phrase or term in particular, long-term people. I don't think I'd ever heard that before, and I'm going to hang on to that and probably repeat that in the future. Okay. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. If folks want to get in touch or find you on the internet, where can they track you down?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter as tax_Zack, Z-A-C-K. And if you're interested in learning more about our tax advisory and preparation services. You can go to taxwisecorp.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again for joining us today. To everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I appreciate that so, so much. I see all your ratings and reviews, and it gives me a nice little warm and fuzzy feeling every single time. Once again, if you are enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe and catch us here every weekday. Right now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you on the next one.